Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life listener style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
For tonight's fabulous Transformation Cafe. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. We're in 2014. Can you believe it? And I just wanted to see who's our little diners, if they're all scooting up to the table here. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing most excellent. This is Mr. Jamie calling from Seattle, Washington, in the heart of the great Pacific Northwest. And,
how is it the great Northwest?
We got a little precipitation.
Yeah.
There's a little precipitation, but not anything below, like 80 degrees below zero or anything like the rest of the country, except for you guys.
Yeah, I heard that Alaska's having a warming trend.
Well, it was warmer in Alaska than some of the states in the south, I think.
Isn't that amazing? To me,
that's
amazing.
I heard the U.S., this aspect of the East Coast, is in what they're calling a winter vortex.
A what?
A winter vortex.
A winter vortex? Oh, my goodness.
I've never heard that.
Getting into the
before.
Vortexes now. It's not just going to be in Sedona, Arizona anymore where they have vortexes. We've got vortexes with the weather now. Oh, my goodness. That just shows you how far we've come. My goodness. So, and Victoria, how are you tonight? I know.
I am so happy that you saved a place at the table for me.
Oh, I always have a place at the table for you. My goodness. It's like I always have a place at the table for myself. So there you go. We just want to scoot on in and see how things are going. So Gloria is a San Diegan. How do you say that? You're just a San Diego. What do they say?
San Diego,
yeah. Local.
Southern California.
How to say it again, Jamie?
San Diegoan.
San Diegoan? This doesn't sound right. Anyway, I guess so. Yes, what is it?
It's written as San Diegan.
San Diegan.
D-I-E-G-A-N.
A San Diegan.
That's what I've seen in the newspaper.
Okay, well, there you go. And how is it in San Diego tonight?
If it's in the newspaper, it must be true.
Of course. It's in the newspaper. How is it down in San Diego tonight?
You know, tonight, I guess it's pretty nice. We've had a bout of nights that are filled with lots of fog and moisture.
Uh-huh.
So it's been really nice. During the day, it's been warm. And then at night, you get the clouds that roll in, and you get all of that ocean barrier, the ocean moisture.
Yeah, the marine layer has been really kind of amazing. I've been fortunate to go down to the beach area about three or four times since Christmas, and that fog, the way it just rolls in. I've gone down to Laguna, California, a few times, and it's just right above the whole. It's not like it goes all the way to the ground. It kind of hovers like a baby about three stories above the ground. So it's kind of eerie the way it just kind of floats in and kind of hangs out there. So that's just really interesting.
It reminds me of the Midwest fog that I used to have as a kid when I'd walk to school.
Oh, okay. Midwestian. There we go.
Walking through clouds.
Walking through the clouds. Yeah, walking through the clouds. So Miss Gloria and I were talking yesterday, and we were just kind of fascinated with what's really happening with a lot of the different things that are happening for wellness, and really looking into, where are we now with moving into the new year when it comes to the medicine and the mindset evolutions that are really happening. And we're really going to make this kind of a theme for the whole month, of just kind of moving through some different stuff that we're discovering and just kind of talking about some different stuff. So I look forward to Jamie's input on any of this, depending on where he's, with some of the stuff he's been reading and looking for some of the new stuff that's out there. So we wanted to start talking about, you know, biorhythm and biofeedback and really getting into some of these, and, you know, it always sounds like cutting edge. My goodness, biorhythm and feedback has been around since what, mid-60s or something, Gloria?
It came into play around the 70s.
Okay. You know what that is, Jamie, right? Jamie, you know what that is, right?
What's that?
Biorhythms, you know, like biofeedback.
Yeah, I think I know about that a little bit. I mean, I'm not an expert at it or anything.
Mm-hmm. You basically
just
through
put
your,
in your mind, and well, if you get hooked up to a machine, I guess you could do it that way. But can't you just practice it? And I guess you need to be taught how to sense your body do a bio or a rhythm, I guess, or. Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that. My goodness. No, but because like Gloria, doesn't it have to do with like? Go ahead.
I remember when I was working in the hospitals and they started introducing the biofeedback, and Jamie is right on both counts, because you start out by being hooked up to a machine. They put leads and things all over your head and your brain.
Doesn't it take your brain wave, and there's certain waves that you have to, you can make your brain relax, not relax, but you could attain this wave, and that's with a tone, I guess. That's how they figure out that, you know, I don't know anymore. Maybe it's a lot more, maybe it's a little different now that they have better technology, you know.
Well, what they started doing originally was hooking you up with all of the leads so that they could get the brain wave patterns, and what that did for the person who was hooked up to the machine is that they could then be able to connect physically what they felt to what they were seeing, so that they could then realize what they needed to feel like to be in that specific lower frequency and more relaxed. And it gave them a baseline to be able to work from. And so then, after they would leave the hospital, then they would look to achieve that sensation, that feeling, that emotional space that they had experienced on several different levels while they were attached to the machine.
So how's that different from, say, meditation or something like that, where you're just kind of watching the mind and noticing it? Because really, isn't it kind of getting into the different waves, like a beta wave as opposed to an alpha wave? And it's basically levels of mental, it's basically mind activity, right?
Yes, and from what I had experienced and between the two, that and this was before meditation had really gained, or even guided meditation had really gained any a foothold in people's mindsets as a way to work with stress. Stress at that point in time was not even identified as a factor in causing disease or illness in human beings, and so they weren't even looking at stress in the workplace, let alone stress in people's lives. And the biofeedback was a way that science approached physical health to help people to not be so stressed out. That's when they moved into stress as becoming more of a buzzword and recognizing the effects of stress. And so then meditation is the form that people were actually attaining. They were teaching people what it felt like. It was kind of a back-ended way of coming into teaching people meditation.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because you can actually see what's kind of going on just the mental activity. Yeah.
Right.
And you're seeing it on the screen kind of thing.
Well, and it also had to do with cultural acceptance. You know, like my parents, the idea of meditating versus doing biofeedback, to them it was like, oh, technology and medicine trumped the woo-woo stuff of going in and chanting and doing meditation. And so it was a generational as well as those things that they're exposed to, because most people don't accept change, let alone the idea of new ideas. You know, that, you know, like we were talking earlier, and I had seen that clip on that one show where they were talking in the hospital about introducing dance as a form of therapy to help people heal faster. And, you know, they were saying, well, it's, you know, this is very it's not that it's unacceptable. It was basically unheard of, and they didn't know the benefits. And so, you know, it was like, well, I guess you can do it, but I really don't put a lot of stock in it. And so now we realize that, you know, activity and motility as well as mobility is very important in the healing process. You know, pregnant women, after they deliver, are encouraged to get up and walk around because they'll heal faster. Whereas
it's like anybody getting a heart transplant. Heart transplant, and they want them up and walking around within a few hours of the operation, which I think is amazing.
Right. Right. And so, you know, before it used to be that they would lie in bed for like 10 days or more after giving birth, and it just didn't help people to heal. And so we were talking about how the evolution of the medical industry is also correlated to just how fast and the evolution of technology. And so as we move and recognize that everything is speeding up more quickly, we can start to look at the evolution of a lot of the different healing practices and the things that are being discovered, as well as human evolution and the body, in the, mm-hmm. based on the light body versus the sound body. So I'm quite excited, and this is very fascinating and interesting to me to be at this moment where we're seeing that change happening.
Well, and it's something that's always been there, but it's been more of a, you know, like in the Native American and some of the different cultures and things like that, like in Eastern philosophies and Eastern medicines and things like that. It's something that's been done in other cultures, but when bringing it into America, it's just like, you know, with the same thing with going into meditation. The whole thing of, you know, when people from, say, you know, Buddhism and things like that would come over here and they would sit and meditate. You know, I've heard it said that Americans are just not the type of, we're just not geared to just sit. You know, it's very difficult for an American to just sit and supposedly be meditating, but you can meditate doing anything. I mean, it's a mindset, and it's watching yourself as opposed to being caught up in something where you've got the mental chatter. You could be washing the dishes or sweeping the floor or taking a walk or whatever. You know, there's you know, the movement, being in a moving meditation as opposed to just a sitting meditation.
Well, and you
know,
have the
key. I did a lay down and watch the inside of my eyes meditation, so, you know.
Well, you had the key word there, too, was about mindset.
Yes.
Mindset, because you look at the Eastern versus the Western cultures, and you had Europeans that originally populated, and so if you go back and look historically at practices, it's just a matter of a practice. It's like a spiritual or a religious practice. It's something that has been ingrained and people accept as the norm, and it can be changed.
Yeah, it can totally be changed. And I mean, even if you look into the European cultures, I mean, you know, that's when they used to have the monasteries and, you know, all that kinds of stuff where people would slow down and be in a place of more contemplation as opposed to just, you know, the regular activities of the day and things like that. Or even the only time they really kind of slow down would be when they go to a church or something like that and allow themselves to be more in a spacious place of you know, watching the mind in a different way kind of thing, I think.
The monasteries and the nunneries, though, the people there were more cloistered, and it was about practicing God, and it didn't really permeate into the culture.
Right. So they were all considered weirdos. So there you go.
Well, they were considered to be people of God, which was separate from the people.
Devotion, a level of devotion and dedication, yeah, for that mindset and being able that. So This whole idea that we're coming from, and just this theme that we're hoping to do for this month, and just really looking again at the medicine and the mindsets of how everything is evolving, having that new level of integration of moving it into, you know, our awarenesses of things, and then looking at how does that affect us in the environment, how does that affect us in, you know, the natural world, and then into working into, you know, city environments and things like that. And along with the biorhythm feedbacks, you know, there are other things that have been pretty much since the beginning of just us interacting with the world. And one of those things that Gloria and I had talked about that we thought we wanted to bring out was working with color therapy. And color therapy really works on a level of a vibrational energy, working with all the different spectrums of color. And Gloria had been sharing with me before the show, if you go to Wikipedia, there's a really cool article called Colors of Noise. And if you actually just put colors of noise in, it will come up on the Wikipedia. And it shows a lot of different graphs of all the different levels of what different sounds actually look like on a graph level. So you've got white sound, we've got pink sound, there's brown. And it's real interesting. We started looking into some of this different stuff. And it's interesting to look at it because it talks about a mid-frequency component of the white noise, which they call the halftone, which is your green sound. And once you're saying you can go to YouTube and there's actually instructions and it shows you how to be able to make green sounds, Victoria?
It was green noise, and that was a variation or a deviation on white noise.
Mm-hmm.
And when I listened to it, it didn't sound audibly to my consciousness as being different than white noise. It sounded just like white noise, but it had to do with the decibels.
Right.
Megahertz, I beg your pardon.
Yes, because I wonder about that, if it's something that, because I automatically say, well, if we're making green noise, would that be like if we go out in nature and we're hearing that frequency and how that would be affecting the body?
No, when I originally looked at that article in Wikipedia, it was, I realized that it was more about a color that has been assigned to the noise that is in correlation with the things that, you know, the vibrations that are coming off of it. But if you look and you've got brown noise or brownian, it's more about being assigned from an environmental level. You know, and it's like they had white noise, but, you know, is white noise really white?
Right. Well, it can kind of go back to the fact that they're just choosing a frequency, and then they're correlating that with a color, right?
Right. Well, it showed pink noise, but then it talked about the difference between purple and red. And if you vary the oscillations, you get variables that basically turn out to be more of a magenta. And so you could assign, based on colors, you could assign it based on the megahertz. I don't have it in front of me, and I'm hoping I'm not misspeaking, but the megahertz that are coming from the sound, from the color vibrations that would then create a sound. I went to a presentation one time, and they had taken the different keys on a piano, and each key had a color code assigned to it. So it was really interesting. They did it based on your name and your birth date.
Hmm.
It was really quite fascinating. They had numbers assigned to the keys, the colors, and the codes. It was really quite fascinating.
It's like, who has time to figure all that out, and how did they even figure that out to begin with? That's pretty amazing.
Well, that was done by, that was done, oh, I've forgotten his name. He was very famous, and he was a medium. And he the information originally, and so this was documented. And I've lost the name of the person, but he's very famous.
Hmm. Yeah, that is very interesting. So, you know, and if you go and you actually look into color therapy, you look into the frequency of colors and then how they respond to the body, you know, they automatically all start going into the different chakras. And chakras are vibrational energy centers within the body that mindset originated more in an Eastern philosophy. But what's interesting, if you start looking into the history of chakra, it's really been in every culture. If you look at, the Aborigines, you look into, and it's a lot of them are the Indian cultures that have taken that on, Peruvian, and then, you know, Native American. Every one of them has a belief system that has to deal with different colors are being reflected in different areas of the body. So,
well,
along with that, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
You can look at visually at a color chart, and you can determine, just like when you have, sometimes we get this thing where we're like, you know, I really want a chocolate bar, or I really want a potato, and the body knows what it needs nutritionally. And so you can look at a color chart and at various different times, even in the day, and different colors will appeal to you or resonate. And when you become more sensitive to your own inner vibration, you can feel the energy from that color. If it's more appealing to you, your body needs it somewhere. It's really fascinating to use color as a healing thing, because you don't even need to visually look at it. You can put it towards your back, and whatever color is necessary, it will be absorbed through those vibrations. I work a lot with that with the Reiki, between crystals and color.
Yeah, color therapy is really, really fascinating, because you can get into the different parts of the body that are like you were saying, resonating with that, that kind of correlates with chakras. But it can go into, you could wear that color on that part of the body to help balance that energy out. You can eat foods of those colors that would help to also balance the body in those areas. So it's pretty fascinating about how simple it can be. And like you're saying, it's just like, I'm having a craving for something, you know, what does that mean, and how's it going to be benefiting my body? So it really gets into the interesting aspect.
One of the meditations that I created, and you may or may not remember it, the ones that I did based on the violet flame, and I utilized this one technique, which is really beneficial. When you find a color that resonates with you, you can imagine it being like a wall of jello in front of you, and you could walk into it. You can immerse yourself in it. You can absorb it through a meditation process. You can absorb it through your skin, as well as being able to breathe it in and just immerse your body in that color. And it can absorb into the cells internally and externally.
A wall of jello. That sounds kind of exciting.
Well, you can give it any texture you want. You could make it, you know, like walking into an air balloon. I mean, you can do any texture you want, but I found that if it had a little bit of viscosity, when it goes into the lungs, if it's more solid than a gas, you can feel it in a guided meditation space. You can actually feel it, and with the brain recognizing that it's there through that sensation, it has more benefit, because you need to have that brain recognition so that it becomes more pronounced for you.
I just want to, you know, make the joke that there's always room for jello. Dating myself here with the jello companies. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. But, you know, when it comes to levels of just balancing your energy, I mean, you're always hearing these meditations that say, you know, put a pink bubble of light around you, or a pink or a green bubble of, you know, like when it's like working from the heart energy to help balance all your energies out. So that's a cool thing to be thinking about, that where you've got this kind of a, you know, a bubble of that color that's, like you're saying, has a thicker viscosity to it, which kind of helps to just kind of submerge you and have you, you know, like walking in that kind of a thing. So it's very, very interesting. So it really goes into that whole level of working with a vibrational energy, seeing how that interacts with you. And the delightful thing about, you know, working with color and then also working on a certain level with vibrational energies is this is so user-friendly and so simple. You know, the majority of it you don't necessarily need to have, once you're familiar with it and working with it on whatever level, you can definitely get, levels of response, just like biofeedback. You're going to get a sense of something when you're kind of working with something of like, well, how does that feel, and does it feel good? And sometimes it can be a very powerful experience, but most times it's a little bit subtler, you know, a subtler experience. But you really are seeing the benefits of things like that. So Gloria and I had gotten into the talking about the fact that we're wanting to be moving it into, there's just a renaissance of bringing all this back, working into sound therapy, and ultimately moving into recognizing that sound is more and more going to be something that's very, very significant when it comes to levels of our healing and our balance and just the wellness of coming from that and recognizing on using all of our senses, but particularly sound, whether we feel it with a touch or we're feeling it through our ears and through the body, we can really see how things are shifting and changing with that and moving with that. So we got into this whole conversation about, it's been said on this in the spiritual community that we've been working in the age of light. This is the age of light, and we're moving into sound. And we were talking about, if we're coming from a level of light, isn't light faster than sound? And Gloria and I had walked through that whole thing. So for me, it was the question of, light is faster than sound. How is that integrating into the body? So Gloria, can you talk about that for a couple seconds, about what you shared with me about that?
Yes, and I wanted to mention before we go there that it would be interesting because they have been utilizing for quite some time, recently, nutrition based on DNA, and I was reading something that was talking about stress and how it can affect DNA. And so it will be really interesting to see how light and sound will be used technologically in medicine for the healing of the human body as well in the future, affecting the DNA structure too. So as far as what you had asked about, would you ask the question again?
Oh, we were just talking about, when it comes to levels of the body, how does the body be able to, because like light is faster than sound, how does the body being able to, work with that process of like slowing that energy down, and how does that being able to be integrated into the body?
Well, when you go through any kind of an attunement, as an example for Reiki, when you have energy come in, you have three different levels of attunement, and it changes the vibrational frequency of your cellular structure physiologically.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more dense aspects are basically vibrated out of your system first, and so you are fine-tuning. And so each time you go through, you're getting a different level of debris that's been kept in the cellular structure. So likewise, with the light and the color, light is a higher frequency. It's a lighter frequency, lighter as in not as heavy. It was kind of a coined phrase there, light being lighter. But
well, and it's also when it's like working a lot, it's actually faster, right? It's a faster frequency.
Well, it is, and it's also a softer frequency in that it's not going to affect our bodies deeper. It's going to affect it more on a superficial level. So as the
mm-hmm.
sound comes in, you're going to have a more dense vibration that's going to come in. And so that's going to be another deeper level of cleansing. And so, one of the things that a lot of people struggle with when they're going through these energetic cleansings is that the emotional debris that's kept in the body system, it's been very challenging for a lot of people as they're moving through the vibrations that the planet is going through as it moves through its universal layers on an astrological level. And so, the idea of going through sound, that's going to be another cleansing level. So, you may have your balance and just know that it's another process that you're going to go through, and you can get through it. It may be emotionally challenging. You may find a lot of emotional discard of things that have been maintained. You may find that you have a lot of emotional cleansing that you go through, relationships, different environments, different situations, and it's just one more level. And so everybody can do it. It's just going to take them being aware and maintaining an awareness or catching themselves and going, wow, this is such an emotional issue. I must be going through this sound. And they could go find another sound and help to ease that too, I believe. I haven't done a lot of...
Find songs that you're resonating with and just like crank them up and sing them on the radio.
Right, and changing the vibrational frequency. So you may be experiencing a sound from someplace else that's cleansing you, and you recognize it, and so you can help to mitigate the effects by changing the vibration of the sound around you. So that's
a good thing. Exactly. Well, our 30 minutes, it goes that fast, so you know how that goes. So next show, we're going to be getting into talking a little bit about photosynthesis, believe it or not, photosynthesis and working with the sound and color and sound therapies and things like that. And also, we're going to be covering a book that's really fascinating called The Emotion Code and by Bradley Nelson. It's got some dynamics that we wanted to be bringing in. So we'll be talking about that next time here at the Transformation Cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com. and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again.